Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob and Pete dissect all the fantasy angles surrounding the Tyler Toffoli trade, and they answer your Twitter questions. Plus, who are the best Rantanen replacements, DFS plays, and best bets. Ring the register.
Welcome back, everybody. NHL Fantasy on Ice, Tuesday morning. Jensen and Reese coming at you with some trade reaction. Tyler Toffoli, like we thought he would, he gets traded early in the week right after that stadium series, Robbie.
I love it, Pete. I love that we have trades to talk about already. Fantasy playoffs are coming up. That means get these guys on your fantasy team now. So, Pete, I saw the forward rankings last night. Very good placement for Toffoli. We have him slotted right ahead of Alex DeBrincat, obviously not having a good season. Is that kind of the mold of player that you would drop to add Tyler Toffoli?
Definitely a DeBrincat, definitely a Phil Kessel. That is where I would draw the line. An underachieving player that maybe you've been frustrated with to this point in the season. Mm-hmm. Hey, it's mid-February right now. These guys have not done it for you to this point. You have to cut the cord if there is not really a sign of a bounce back. And DeBrincat playing on a third line, a man on an island, Phil Kessel not really having the best line mates, you know? You just got to pull the plug at this point, I think.
And there's a good safety net here for Toffoli, too. I mean, worst comes to worst, he's playing with either Pettersson or Horvat. Horvat's a 65-point guy. Pettersson's a point-per-game guy. There's absolutely no downside of adding him if he plays with either one of those two centers.
Yeah, and you see it already popping up on Twitter, pictures of Toffoli and Tanner Pearson mm-hmm. in each other's wedding party. I mean, these guys were great friends for many years when they played on the same line with Jeff Carter in the regular season, in the playoffs, in 2014 playoffs. They played great. I mean, the Kings, people forget about the Kings when they won two championships in 3 years. That team couldn't score goals, and Drew Doughty brought it up over the weekend, kind of reflecting on Toffoli's career with the Kings. He was talking about how he was maybe their best goal scorer that year and just over the past 5-6 years.
When they got swept against the Ducks that year, they scored like two goals in the whole series?
In four games. Two or three goals.
So that is the epitome of the situation that Toffoli was coming from. Vancouver, good thing, does not have that problem. They can score goals. Bad news right now, it looks like Brock Besser's going to be out another 3 weeks here with a rib injury, Pete, which, you know, has kind of been the story of Brock's career early on. But good news, upside spin here. Good news for Toffoli. More ice time, probably a top power play trial at some point.
And get him acclimated with a new system. I mean, he's been playing for years in this LA system he was playing a lot with Kopitar this year, and granted, he did lead the Kings in goals with 18 after the hat trick on Saturday in Colorado and was second in shots on goal on the team behind Carter, so that's a good start. But you're entering a mix where, yeah, if you play with Pettersson, your fantasy value could skyrocket. If you're playing with Bo Horvat, you're going to be a steady producer because Bo Horvat is. So it's a great mix either way, in my opinion.
And look how JT Miller fared in their top six. You know, you give a guy a little bit more ice, you give a guy a little bit more open space with the playmakers around him, and all of a sudden, he's playing close to a point per game. Now, I'm not saying that Toffoli's going to come in here and score a point per game to close out the season, Pete, but I think a realistic expectation, let's say they hypothetically have 23 games left. I think if you get around 18, 19 points from this guy, you're looking at maybe 10 goals. That's a great pickup in fantasy. You're not going to find better value on the waiver wire right now than Tyler Toffoli.
And he's only 18% owned right now. So I know after the show, you're going to be going down to your desk and try to pick him up wherever you can in your league. I picked him up for DeBrincat. We were talking about it yesterday. That was prior to the trade, and some people were active on Sunday, Monday, mm-hmm. and you should be active before, because if you're in a really competitive league, you're not going to be able to pick up some of these guys once they're gone. If someone gets traded, especially on defense, mm-hmm. look at some of those guys who might be available, right? Like Gustafsson, Ristolainen, Vatanen, who's injured right now but still could be traded. Those are the type of guys that you need to get the head start on before they're actually moved.
And one last thing I wanted to say about this deal. I know the Canucks had to give up Tyler Madden for it. He's putting up killer numbers at university right now in the NCAA, but I have to say, Tyler Toffoli is a proven guy in the NHL. He's a proven 20 to 25 goal scorer, could even be pushing 30 if he's on the right line. So I know that Tyler Madden's a great prospect. I hear you, but he has yet to play a game in the NHL. You don't know if he was going to sign with Vancouver. You don't know if he was looking for max bonuses. You don't know what he wanted. I'll tell you this, Pearson Toffoli, like you mentioned, Pete, great connection there already. That indicates to me that high likelihood that Toffoli could re-sign there, which means great value for the Canucks.
It was a move Vancouver had to make, considering the struggles they've gone through, and sort of reward the fans a little bit. I understand some fans are, oh, they gave up too much to get Toffoli. He's a rental. I think you do it. They have a deep enough farm system. Go for it. They're in first place in the Pacific right now. Vancouver's been out of the mix for how long? I like the move.
I do too. It was good they didn't have to give up like Vasily Podkolzin. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would have been foolish if they did. But with a good farm system, yeah, the Kings are going to want to tap into it. And the Kings on the other side, they have Turcotte eventually coming. So they're going to have some nice college kids to incorporate into the mix. And you look at the Kings roster just moving forward. I mean, they have those stalwarts still like Kopitar, Doughty, and Quick. And you can build around it. You kind of can do a refresh, a rebuild, and try to compete in the next 2 or 3 years.
Last question here for you. On the King side of this, Pete, is there any appeal to you in picking up an Alex Iafallo now, or a player like that that you know is going to be playing 20 minutes a game minimum now that their forwards are so thin?
That's about it. I mean, maybe Dustin Brown resurfaces a little bit. He does always play with Kopitar. He didn't really play a lot with Kopitar this year, which was an outlier, mm-hmm. but expect him to be back probably with Iafallo and Kopitar for the rest of the season. There's definitely some good value in those two, but probably more trades on the horizon for the Kings. Maybe an Alec Martinez, you know, someone like that.
For more Trade Spin, let's bring in the host of Fantasy Hockey X. It's Chris Wassel, who also writes for Dobber Prospects, among other sites. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. It's like a balmy 50 degrees here in New Jersey. What gives? I mean, where I came from, it was zero over the weekend, so this is much welcome.
Where were you?
I was up in Montreal and enjoying.
Wow, nice.
It was beautiful, don't get me wrong. Nice to see a good kids hockey tournament, take in a Dallas Stars Montreal Canadiens hockey game, and eat, again, so much food that, you know, for 5 people or maybe more. Mm-hmm. All in all, it was a great time.
Very nice. Montreal, definitely one of the greatest hockey cities in the world. Robbie's been there. Chris has been there. I have not, so I got to get
next up.
I got to get myself up there sometime in the near future. But anyway, Chris, a big trade, two big trades to break down with you here today. Clearly, Tyler Toffoli from last night going to Vancouver is the big one. What are your thoughts on his fantasy value? And is he a player that you're targeting as like a must pickup at this point in time?
It's funny because I'm almost waiting for the Vancouver morning skate lines to come out first. It's like, okay, hit refresh, keep hitting refresh, and to see what happens. Now, obviously, if he's on the first unit power play, you're picking him up without hesitation. Mm-hmm. Now, if he's not, then there is at least a little bit of apprehension. I'm not going to go and rush and pick him up necessarily. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the key in this. He has to get that extra time on power play unit one for him to be more valuable. Otherwise, it feels like you're making a lateral fantasy move.
Well, I wouldn't call it lateral, Chris, because even with the now Michael Ferland out for the rest of the season, Brock Besser looks like he's out for another couple weeks here with a rib injury. I think it's guaranteed that at some point in the next 2-3 games here, he's going to get on that top power play. So my advice to fantasy owners would be pick this player up immediately. We saw the same criticism of the JT Miller trade for Vancouver. Oh my gosh, they gave up too much. You haven't heard a peep from those people since. This is going to be the same exact situation with Toffoli.
Miller's, as nuts as this is going to sound, Miller actually was a more ideal fit for Vancouver and the style that he plays, especially playing with the top six talent there, than Toffoli maybe at first. There may be a little bit of an adjustment period. It's going to be something that takes time. It will be something that does work out for Vancouver, however. They still need defensive help in the worst way, but at least sometimes you have to go with the best defense being a good offense.
For sure. I mean, I think fair points on both sides. I just like the fact that you can have him in there on the first power play, ideally, while Besser is out, and even have him with Pettersson if you want. And then when Besser comes back, or if you want to put Virtanen back there to get the most of him, you can play him with his former line mate on the second line, Tanner mm-hmm. Pearson, and Bo Horvat's a pretty darn good center in fantasy this year as well. So like, even if he's on that second line, in a worst-case scenario, pretty darn good in my opinion.
Now, Chris, the Blake Coleman trade, you're obviously familiar with the Devils inside and outside. He's going to Tampa, where there seems to always be sort of a logjam of forwards there. What is your gut reaction, knowing Blake Coleman pretty well from the Devils?
Look, this is one of those players that generates an insane amount of shots per 60, particularly since December 1st. And when you look at among some of the league leaders, he was third in the league in shots per 60. I think at one point second before last couple games and a few things occurred. Now, that's not probably going to happen in Tampa to a point, but he may come close enough where he plays kind of that middle six slash penalty kill role where he can step in. He could be a good patch in case of again injuries. He could even see a little bit of power play time as well. He's versatile enough that Tampa Bay almost had to make this trade. Look, you never know when the next injury is going to come, and at $1.8 million for the rest of this year and next, Blake Coleman is just one of those pickups that Tampa Bay had to pay for, and they did pay pretty dearly.
It's a great pickup for me in reality and also in fantasy when you see players like Killorn on the third line being fantasy relevant. Coleman could fit just as well. I mean, it's one of those things where you balance, okay, he had a bigger role on the Devils. He'll have a smaller role here, but he's on a much safer team and is going to put up maybe some better peripherals in addition to his great hits coverage and his great shots coverage, like you mentioned.
Chris, I feel like I'm on the outside of both of these perspectives a little bit. I feel like I'm butting heads with everyone here, but I don't see why Tampa Bay had to make this move for fantasy and for reality. Like, they're so deep at the forward position. They're always going to be deep. They have one of the best farm systems in the American Hockey League right now. So I like Blake Coleman a lot. It's not that I don't like the player, but I worry if his ice time drops down by about 4 or 5 minutes here, which it certainly could, that value for fantasy owners just isn't going to be there.
Yeah, it may not. Now, if it drops by 4 or 5 minutes, it's not there. But if it drops by just a couple, which I think will be the case at first just because, again, you have several injuries with the Lightning, and there's a few players that are not playing at 100% either. So that may help Coleman's cause as well. Now, longer term, say game 70 to 80 or so. Never mind the next 10, 20 games, but say that last little stretch of the season, I think when Tampa Bay is probably the healthiest, is, and Rob is right here, that maybe when you see the biggest drop in Blake Coleman's production, and unfortunately, guys, is right in the midst of your fantasy hockey playoffs.
Yeah, the playoffs are coming up real quick right now, and there are a couple of major injuries have happened over the past couple of days. Erik Karlsson out for the season, and Mikko Rantanen went down last night. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks. Let's start with Karlsson, Chris. The defenseman position is pretty scarce when you get deep into it. Who is your top replacement option in season-long leagues for EK65?
It's rough because, when I started looking around, it's like, okay, who's left? That's the scary part. I have options. I have guys I want to look at. There's guys that even I want to take, maybe have a return. Obviously, my favorite, and I'm going to see if he's available, of course. I still always go with my Tony D'Angelo pick as the medieval plug because for some reason and somehow he's still available in just enough leagues or even Adam Fox. Just to ride along temporarily with Mr. Karlsson being out, it will be a process of streaming, especially this time of year, unfortunately, because look, it's not just that the injuries are happening, guys, it's who they're happening to and mm-hmm. the timing on your fantasy rosters. Obviously, in your leagues with some of these guys that are on can't cut lists, it's a much bigger problem. So you do need guys that you can get off the waiver wire. And I would highly recommend just today, just go look. You probably can find a few players that are available that were not available even a week ago.
That is absolutely true. Now, Mikko Rantanen crashed real hard into the boards last night. It looked bad for the Avs. He did not return to the game. Subsequently today, they recalled their first-round pick from 2018, Martin Kaut. I don't know if he's necessarily worth picking up, Chris, but what would you do if you were a Rantanen owner in fantasy?
I wouldn't honestly panic. I would see how Kaut is being deployed first before even placing him anywhere near your fantasy roster. It looks like perhaps you're going to see a Burakovsky or Donskoy elevation. And look, Burakovsky's probably your safer bet of the two at this point. The one significant thing I do know, and this is not official just yet, is that it looks like, unfortunately, Rantanen has a broken collarbone. That's the appearance on first look. If that's the case, and it's a standard broken collarbone, it's a 6 to 8 week injury, which basically puts him out for the rest of your regular season, unfortunately. So for fantasy owners out there, that's a big blow. You can't get around it. So you're hoping like a Burakovsky steps up like he did before, insert previous Avalanche injuries. And unfortunately, it's not the only injury for the Avalanche. Obviously, there was the Kadri injury before, and now there's the Grubauer injury on top of it. It seems like these injuries are happening in twos, threes, and fours for a lot of the top contenders, which, again, is increasing the value on the trade market.
No doubt. And the trade deadline is next Monday, so expect the Avalanche to be active if that proclamation is true about Rantanen. It definitely looked like either a collarbone or a shoulder thing. We'll find out what it is for certain. Now, Chris, for the Tuesday slate, 7 games, give us a couple of DFS plays that you really like and then your best bet for the evening.
Okay, this is where it was going to be always be fun for today, because, look, it's Tuesday. people know where I'm going, and naturally, it's Philip Forsberg. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Tuesday. I mean, you're going up against a Carolina team that's been pretty shaky themselves. Nashville is showing some signs of life, finally. I mean, 3 straight wins have started to turn the corner a little bit. They got a big goal the other night from Kyle Turris, of all people. I know. they finally reunited that Turris, Forsberg, Duchesne line that was really good in the preseason. And it looks like that could be the line tonight to go with. As crazy as it sounds, there's the cop-out way where you could sit there and go with David Perron and Braden Schenn tonight for the Blues, because they're playing the Devils, who probably will see about 60 shots. look, if Columbus can generate 50, what felt like 700 on Sunday evening, St. Louis should at least be able to get to 40 at a minimum. After that, for fun and giggles, guys, here you go. The return of Connor Hellebuck tonight. Why not?
I like that play. I like that, Chris.
It's one that a lot of people have been down on a little bit. And the other one is, I'm going to vomit a little. May just be if he starts Jonathan Bernier, because look, that Montreal loss on Saturday, guys, you could see it in the players. You could just see the body language. Done.
Well,
that was pretty much it.
Chris, before we let you go, what's your best bet if you're looking at a team to pick up or a total in play? What are you looking at?
The absolute best bet tonight Look, it's the Pittsburgh Toronto over. It's like the gift that keeps on giving tonight.
And
I didn't see anything from Frederik Andersen to indicate to me that he's not going to give up less than 3 goals tonight. And you know what? For the heck of it, maybe Jarry finally gets lit up a little bit for Pittsburgh.
Wow. It's bound I hope to not. I've got him in season long, Chris.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, but at some point. Look, he has these games every so often where he gives up 3 or 4 goals on 30 shots. So this may be it tonight, considering this A is a home and home, and B, these are two teams that score an awful lot against each other historically.
No doubt. 8 goals allowed in the past 2 games for Freddie Andersen. My fantasy teams are taking a big hit from that one, but I like the pick. Thanks, Chris, for joining us as always, man.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
So back to Toffoli, Rob. We got a bunch of fan questions. Let's run through them. Watchful Eye 602 on Twitter asks if he should drop Brian Rust for Tyler Toffoli. I know Rust has been in the tank lately, but I do tend to trust the Pittsburgh Penguins. So what are your thoughts on that one?
I will say this about Rusty. I've been on him all year. I haven't dropped him yet. Now, it's been 3 games, Pete. without a point, and there's no one that checks that stat column more than myself. I'm getting worried about Rusty here, and I don't know how long I can keep defending this guy. The only saving grace here, Pete, he's still playing north of 20 minutes per game on that Pittsburgh top six. That's the only reason why I would still keep Rust, ride it out for another couple games here.
The only thing better than Rob's rusty take right there is the fact that he's chomping on Jolly Ranchers. What do you got that you're chomping on?
I had a doctor's appointment this morning.
Okay, what do you
got? Blood work done, so I need my sweets. It's okay. Here's a quick plug for Smart Sweets. They're healthy gummy bears. Okay. I got the sour ones, but they're hard as a rock. So I tried to eat them with a little break here, and So
just letting the listeners know. He'll pass them out after the show. We'll get a shot at him, Petey. But go ahead.
I like it. I'm a big gummy bear guy myself.
They're the best candy, absolutely. But I think that's as close as it gets for me, Pete, because on the fantasy team that I am thinking about picking up the Foley, Rust is kind of that close to that last man out in my four group. I'm not ready to make the move, but now that we're seeing Hornquist get going, Zucker's been a nice fit. Although he's not even shooting the puck, he has 2 goals, I think, on 3 shots. So, you know, that's going to even out eventually. But I think I would keep Rust right now.
Well, sometimes you have multiple Pittsburgh Penguins on your team. Like you might have Rust and Zucker, or Zucker and Hornquist. If you have both, then maybe you can afford to cut the cord on one. You don't want to put too much of your eggs in one basket entering the fantasy playoffs. So that's where I would draw the line. I would say most cases don't drop Rust, but it is a good trend to capitalize on if it makes sense with those couple of notes I mentioned. Davey Boy actually dropped Mantha from the Red Wings, the lowly Red Wings. Mantha's back from injury, had the one big game, but not much else. Dropped Mantha in 2 leagues for Tyler Toffoli. I kind of like that move. We have Toffoli ahead of Mantha in our rankings.
Now, where do you draw the line here? Because Chris Carson, guy tweets us a lot on Twitter, at BassBone718730. He says, I'll hold on to Covey. What about Toffoli or Hyman?
That's really close. I know they're right near each other. I mean, if you don't have hits on your roster, then you go Hyman. Hyman, I think, has a point, at least a point in 12 of his past 15 games, and he's like point per game over the span. So Hyman's been really good with Matthews and Marner, even with the Leafs kind of going up and down and all around the spectrum right now. So I would probably lean Hyman if you're in a hits league, but it's very, very close.
Now, you also lean Kovalchuk over Toffoli, but you said it was real close for you.
Yeah.
Tell me your rationale why you'd hold Covey over Toffoli.
Well, I think there's a chance. I mean, right, there has to be a chance that Kovalchuk could get traded too. That's what I would hold out hope for. I mean, Kovalchuk has looked really good on a Montreal team that dealt with a lot of injuries before. Now they have some guys back. Now Gallagher and Drouin are both banged up again. So it's just, and it's kind of a lost cause right now in Montreal. So if Montreal's smart, they capitalize on his strong start, his resurrection of his career, and they trade him again and move forward with their roster.
I'd love to see Kovalchuk go to the Bruins. I know it'd be a kind of ironic for the two rivals, a huge rivalry, to make a deal like that to help a potential, you know, Bruins Cup run. But I think if there's a top power play role for Kovalchuk on a team like the Bruins, it would be an absolute steal in fantasy. So, Pete, I am with you on that one only because I see that scenario being such high upside. Granted, I just want to caution that is a huge risk because Toffoli, I would say, is safer. But Kovalchuk will probably be more goals for you if you hold it out.
Kovalchuk's gone quiet a little bit the past couple of games, but overall has made the most of his time in Montreal, which is a good sign that he can still play in the NHL. And if he lands on a best case scenario team, that's what I'm holding out hope for. That's why I would lean for that over, you know, a Toffoli, you know, the guy like that. So that Toffoli, I mean, we're hyping up his potential, but you've seen a lot of this guy over the years. He had a 5% shooting percentage last year. Prior to that hat trick the other day, his shooting percentage was also below 10. So, you know, the numbers kind of evened out a little bit near the end of his Kings tenure.
Absolutely. Now, we are getting a lot of questions about these AV secondary scorers, Pete, like Burakovsky. Is it time to drop? My initial reaction here to this Avalanche situation is we saw Donskoy step up before. We saw Berkey, who's a 20-goal scorer this season now, which is incredible. So hats off to Burakovsky for that. But I'm worried now with Kadri out, with Rantanen out, with Grubauer out. I'm just not seeing how they can do this for a third time this year, those guys to step up. What do you take on that?
Well, yeah, they somehow survived. I don't think anybody could put a finger on how they survived that stretch without Landeskog and Rantanen at the same time. But Kadri is a player that his presence will be lost. I mean, when he's out for 2, 3, 4 weeks like he might be. So, yeah, Kadri is a huge loss. They almost have to make a trade, like I mentioned with Chris. Pajot, would that be a good fit? Yeah, probably. But until that happens, I mean, sure, McKinnon's going to continue to pull his weight. If Burakovsky's on his line, he's going to be a great pickup. If they put a Landeskog second line left wing, or even if they have to second line center, the guy takes a million faceoffs, it's a possibility just to plug the gap. But yeah, Donskoy is a good streaming option. I would wait and see on him. Burakovsky has been playing really well past 15 games, so I would go ahead and pick him up.
A little bit beneath the surface take here, but this is, if I'm a GM of an opposing team, you know that the Avalanche backs are against the wall. This is the absolute worst case scenario for them because two top forwards in their top six are out. They have no bargaining chips whatsoever. They desperately need a forward. People thought they needed a forward before Kadri and Rantanen got hurt. Now what are they doing? You know what I mean? They guaranteed need to make a deal.
You think about the Avalanche as a team that's going to be a Stanley Cup contender for the next 3 to 5 seasons. That said, they made it to a bounce or two away, game seven against the Sharks. They
An
lost
offsides
last
call
year.
Away.
Yeah, I mean, they easily could have won that game. I mean, they just had the game with 40-plus thousand people there. They kind of laid an egg in that game, to be honest, lost to one of the worst teams in the league. So, like, the pressure is there to keep that market engaged and to win this year, or go as far as humanly possible this year. It's not all about the future in Colorado.
So assuming they do make a trade, bring in a Pajot guy that can play on the second line, something like that, do you feel more confident about picking Francou up and kind of streaming him if you're a Grubauer owner, or even if you're not, maybe you need a number three goalie to kind of sub in there?
I like that player, honestly. I like what I've seen from him at many different points. When Grubauer was struggling, he was playing better. When Grubauer is playing better, you know, Francouz is plugging and playing and making decent efficiency in his starts. I mean, he almost beat Tampa Bay last night. So he can hold his own, I think. I would go ahead and pick him up. We'll see if he joins our top 25 goalie rankings this week. But if he's not in the top 25, he'll probably be like 26 or 27. So, yeah, Francouz at a goaltending position that is really shaping up right now. And not a lot of good options out there. The top two options out there right now, probably UC Saros and Pavel Francouz.
Okay, boys. Very interesting stuff there. Riveting stuff.
As always.
DFS slate, players, ping pong some players around, and some best bets. I got mine up my sleeve. I'm ready and raring for the best bets. But any DFS players you guys are zeroing in on? We heard Wassel's thoughts.
Victor Olofsson, to me, I heard you guys talking about him the other day on the show. I haven't really had a chance to chime in about this guy. He has the Sabres like second breath. Like it's like they're not done yet right now. They're playing well now.
Reinvigorated.
Yeah, I mean, they've won three in a row since he came back. Or he's been there for two of them, but still.
But again,
they were done before he came back.
It's not about Olofsson, man. It's about Kruger. He heard me. He heard me dog Kruger. Kruger is the one that's getting the spark going, no doubt.
I'm telling you, go pull the tape up, Bobby. Pull the producer's tape up of the show on Thursday. I said Olsen's coming back. They're going to raffle off a couple wins in a row. Everyone's going to get all high again, and then they're going to come crashing back down to reality. This is like the most Sabres thing in the world.
He did say that. He did. You're right, Robbie. You did say that. And listen, it is the most Sabres thing in the world, right? You know, get the fans all juiced up, ready to go. Ralph Kruger all fired up. And then watch
Jack Eichel
telling the Leafs fans to sit down. And then watch, the 6-game losing streak is right around the corner.
But I do agree with you tonight. Ride the train while it's hot. Eichel, Olofsson, very money stack. It's in our DFS picks on NHL.com/fantasy.
You know, he's missed, 15 games or something this year, and he's got 10 power play goals. Victor Olofsson, as a rookie.
Nuts.
I mean, this guy, what do you think his, I mean, just looking ahead for a moment, the Sabres probably not making the playoffs this year or coming close to it, but this player with Jack Eichel, if they have this chemistry, he looks like the better asset for long term than Jeff Skinner by a mile, and he also looks like a guy that could score 40 goals.
By a marathon, Pete, he's better than Skinner in long-term value. Yep. I think, if he plays a full season, you're looking at 15 PPGs. You're looking at probably 20 PPPs because of the assists there that'll hold raffle off as well. Right,
easy.
With Eichel,
The power play points could be
way higher.
30, for sure.
And then over a season long, I mean, you've already returned major value in fantasy with those categories alone. If he puts up around 65 points total, I mean, that is a total category cog It could even be as high as 70, depending on how crazy Eichel goes off here. So, yeah, I mean, if you've got him in a keeper league, I'd be pressing keep on his name.
And Eichel throwing him behind the back pass. I mean, they haven't played together in a month, and he knows where he's going to be on the ice. That's why he's shooting 17% this year. But Jack Eichel is a guy that could help a player keep up a high shooting percentage like that for many years to come.
And Vic's first game, Pete, last season, he played with Eichel immediately. So the chemistry has been there since they took the morning skate of their first of Vic Olsen's first game. So you know this one is set in stone.
For sure. And just before, I wanted to touch on Erik Karlsson. I mean, clearly the Sharks are done after losing Karlsson in addition to Couture and Tomas Hertl. But is there any saving grace on this team in terms of garbage time fantasy production for the rest of the season? Are you seeing anything? I know Meyer's been better, but it's just kind of hard to put a finger on, I think.
Stop it with the Sharks.
Yeah.
Cut the cord on everyone. I don't know what to say about that team.
Not Meyer. Don't cut the cord on Meyer.
I mean,
you'd be foolish to do that.
Even their penalty kill yesterday.
Cutting the cord just because he's wearing a Sharks jersey.
I hear you. I'm with you, Bobby. And we've been on this train for a while, too, but I think, Pete, absolutely, it's over for them. I was watching the Panthers yesterday just rip pucks around on the power play. I think even their penalty kill is going to suffer massively, and it's not going to be that top-ranked unit to end the season, which really, Pete, was their only saving grace.
Right, and you see them giving up 4 or 5 power play opportunities against per game. I mean, how long could they possibly keep this up with the penalty kill?
With Aaron Dell in net.
Wait, with Aaron Dell in net, no Karlsson. I mean, they're stretched ridiculously thin right now. But let's get back to the Tuesday slate. Yeah, so Buffalo at Ottawa, I think that's a good play. Ristolainen had 2 assists the other day. When you play him up, he looks like more like a forward to me. I really want them to explore that eventually. But
Dustin Byfuglien.
Yeah, maybe instead of making a move, they can make that change lineup-wise. But that's for my hopes and dreams. I doubt it's going to happen.
I like that, Pete. I like where your head's at with that game. My absolute lock of the night is the over in the Carolina-Nashville game. Those goalies can't stop anything coming at them. I don't care who's starting for either one. Absolutely take the over in that game. But I do like some Canes appeal. I'm stacking Aho and Svechnikov tonight. You know, I know that Wassel liked Nashville. I just, for whatever reason, Aho's been playing so well. And I think that Svechnikov's going to have a nice end of the season.
How about Nashville? 3 straight wins. I mean, they're finally maybe looking like a team that has some scoring depth between Granlund and Turris.
Craig Smith,
I know you've been high on for a number of weeks, continues to deliver for that team. And when they get Ryan Ellis back, they will make the playoffs if this continues in terms of the secondary scoring help.
Well, they have the luxury of really no one else to compete with in the West right now. I mean, Chicago's fallen flat. The Jets are still hanging in there, but they look like there's just not enough. Even if they make it, Pete, like Nashville
they're
has
not going
a way
anywhere.
Better
yeah.
chance to advance than Winnipeg does. So, I like that take a lot, but I want to see a little bit more from Nashville. I want to see that consistency that we could never have described them with this season. So hopefully Saros can hold that down. I mean, I know they're still wanting to give Rene starts too, so we'll have to see how that shakes out.
I do like Saros as a pickup, like I mentioned, if you need goalie help, maybe as a replacement for Grubauer, if you want to go outside of the box a little bit. Nashville, right back in the thick of things. 3 points behind Arizona with 4 games in hand and 4 points behind Calgary with 3 games in hand.
Oh, by the way, in Arizona, the Kemper thing, it looks like he's out now for a number of weeks. I think it changed from day to day to week to week. I mean, holy moly.
Grant has been good, though, at least.
Yeah,
he has
but
been.
I don't trust him.
True. He's been winning.
You know what, Pete? He did look great against the Islanders, and I know the Islanders cannot score before you pile on here, but they had some good chances in the first period, especially. And Ranta, made some great stops. So credit to Ranta. If he stays healthy, he's going to be valuable. And I'm glad, Pete, that you and I did not drop him on our season-long team.
And what do you think about Mackenzie Blackwood? I mean, Wassel touched on it. They're giving up a ton of shots lately. They're selling at the deadline. It's going to be Heischer and Palmieri probably, and nobody else on that roster worth much. So Blackwood, though, 5-0-1, 948, and 2 shutouts in the past 6. Mackenzie Blackwood, 46 save,
that's nuts.
Win, shutout, and 52 save win.
Yeah, Davey's very excited about that. But as far as that game, I watched the St. Louis Blues and the Nashville Predators game. The Blues deserve to win that game, and they've struggled. They've lost a bunch of games here in a row. The Bouwmeester scenario has hurt them. I think tonight, the Blues, I'm taking them on the puck line. I know Mackenzie Blackwood has been great. I just think the Blues are due for a win, due for a big win. They win 4-1, 5-2, something like that. Take the Blues tonight.
I think that's very conservative to say that. I mean, it's an obvious pick for sure. I like it. I mean, especially if you're doing a little parlay scenario, that is a guaranteed to help your parlay tonight.
And I normally don't take the puck line if it's not plus money. The puck line is around even money for the Blues, but mm-hmm. I'm still doing it just because I saw the Blues play the Predators, mm-hmm. and I really thought they played well. I thought they deserved to win the game, and Rene was just great, which he hasn't been all season. He was great in that game. I like the Blues tonight, and the Devils, let's be honest here, the Devils mm-hmm. are shot. If the Blues can't win this game by more than one goal, then I'm going to have a problem.
I would like to say, Pete, that if you are kind of dumpster diving for a goalie that's on a team that's not in it and non-contender, if you're looking at a Blackwood, if you're looking at an Arundel, just some guy that's for sure available, I would go Blackwood for sure because you mentioned he's just going to face so many shots. If you have a saves category and, you know, hey, he's picking up 40 saves, it's going to be, they're going to get value there, even with the losses.
Or even the save percentage. You could give up 3 goals, but if you face 50 shots, you're going to have a pretty darn good save percentage to go along with it. But yeah, for the Devils, they traded Andy Green to the Islanders, Blake Coleman to the Lightning, maybe some more trades coming, and maybe even involving Palmieri. You never know if they could take advantage of his high value. He's been turning it up in a big way lately, Palmieri.
All right, we'll put a bow on it in a bit. I do love Wassel's overpick in the Penguins-Toronto game, so yeah. I think he's got the pulse on that. I would agree with him there as well.
I like that pick that he had the Jets at home against L.A. I mean, they really have to win that game if they want any hope. They're falling out of it right now, and they do have the offense to carry them past the Kings, who are now without Tyler Toffoli for the rest of the season after the trade. And then one other note on the Blues I wanted to mm-hmm. mention, Zach Sanford. How about that 4-goal game the other day? And he has 10 goals, I think, over his past 15 games and is like plus 14 in the span.
Crazy.
So, I mean, he is someone, he just entered the bottom of the top 100 forward ranking. So, waiver wire alert, Zach Sanford, pick him up in any different format that you're in.
And that was a great game, that Vegas Golden Knights Blues game. Tremendous game.
Yeah, one of the best of the season.
And that might be the game that propels Vegas to win the Pacific, because we all believe, I think, that they're going to prevail in that division.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might have been the game. And they beat the Capitals.
And they followed up with a major win against the Caps, too. So that's it. Set that in stone there. My DFS lineup to recap here is Blake Wheeler, Sebastian Aho, Svechnikov. I have Zach Hyman, Kyle Connor, Pat Hornquist, Severson, Niskanen, and Hellebuck for only $7,800. Hellebuck at home for $7,800.
And I feel like we've been talking about it for weeks, but as a Carlson replacement on defense, I mean, we've been talking about Niskanen. He's got 12 points in his past 13 games. And Severson, they both continue to produce. So if they're still out there, take a flyer. I got Nick Suzuki, who has a ton of points lately. I think points in 9 of his past 10 games or something crazy like that at Detroit. Anze Kopitar at Winnipeg. I like the way Kopitar's been playing lately. He has a chance of a multi-point game against the grain. Victor Olofsson, like I mentioned, lineup lock. Patrick Hornquist, like you have, I have as well. I have two Penguins, Jason Zucker for $6,000. Zach Hyman has been amazing in a potential high-scoring game for the Maple Leafs against the Penguins. Matt Niskanen, spend up for Roman Josi. And I'm rolling Juuse Saros if he starts. I like the way that team is trending right now, and I think he wins a home game against the Hurricanes.
If the Habs lose tonight, I think you could see Claude Julien, a shock coaching change there, but they'd probably pick up Gerard Gallant. You know, anybody from the Quebec province is obviously a top candidate there, so I would definitely look at that little underrated storyline there.
And I do like Philly at home against Columbus. Philly is... yeah, great home team. Columbus is in a tailspin right now. What, 0-3-2?
They've lost five straight. Let's call a spade a spade here.
Yeah, so no Seth Jones, no Cam Atkinson. Take Philly at home. And I agree with Chris. I like that over in the Pitt-Toronto game.
And my lock is the over in the Nashville-Carolina game. And last thing I want to say is thank you guys for the two new reviews we got from the show last week. Much appreciated. Keep those coming. We're up to 250 some on Apple, so keep popping the 5 stars and leaving nice things
to say.
And
when you say you guys, just it's my niece and my nephew, so
kidding.
We appreciate it.
Nice. So Thursday, how about it? Let's plan on a trade deadline preview show.
Okay.
With the deadline coming up on Monday.
We'll yeah, sure. Let's do it. Okay. Trade deadline preview. Away we go.
Let's do it, boys. Talk to you all then.
Sounds good. More info to come for Bob Bender, Rob Reese, Pete Jensen. Thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Talk to you next time.